morning. Thank you for coming. Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel, and the topic will be, what are the sources for the dating of different plants? We know that a vegetable is dated by when it's picked. If you pick a vegetable in the second year, the maaser, the tithes, would be maaser rishon, 10% to the levi, and maaser sheni, another 10% taken to Yerushalayim, eaten there in a state of purity. If you pick that same vegetable, let's say a cucumber, not before Rosh Hashanah, but after Rosh Hashanah that began the third year of maaseros, so now the maaser would be maaser rishon and maaser ani. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Echad b'tishrei, Rosh Hashanah li'irakos. It's the Rosh Hashanah for vegetables, for dating a vegetable. How do you date a vegetable? You date a vegetable by when it's picked. But there are other plants that are dated by when they reach the third of their growth. So wheat, barley, they get dated by when they reach a third of their growth. So we're going to see now, what's the source for that? Why are these things dated by when they reach a third of their growth? If they reach a third of their growth in year two, they belong to year two, and others are dated by when they're picked. So let's start here on the bottom of Yud Beis and Beis. What's that?
Fruits
are dated by when they blossomed. So chanata, when they blossom. You know
what?
Blossom is when the flowers, flowers of the blossom fall off, and you're left with just the bud. That's called the chanata. That's what dates the fruits. So it's not hasam. We have a Mishnah over there in Masechta Maaseros. Hatiltan. Tiltan is a type of it's fenugreek. It's a type of spice that's put into soups and other things. So here it does not follow the moment of picking. Picking is not what dates it, but rather misha titzmach. Once it grew enough that its seed, the seed inside of it, could now grow out. So the seed has matured enough that were you to plant the seed, the whole thing would grow out of it. So that's already what dates it. So once it's grown enough to be a tzemach, to now produce other plants, that's already enough to date it. So if it grew to the point that its seed is now mature before Rosh Hashanah, it belongs to that year. If it only matured to the point of being the seed that's plantable after Rosh Hashanah, it belongs to that year. Hatvua, grain. So grain is a reference to wheat, barley. Tvua also has actually a reference to grapes, because in those days they didn't eat grapes. They would turn the grapes into a liquid, and the liquid would then ferment and become a wine. So it was called tirosh. So that also, vazesim, and olives, which are turned into olive oil, mishiaviu shlish. They get dated based on the year in which they reached a third of their growth. When they reach a third of their growth, that's the year they belong to. So if they reach a third of their growth before Rosh Hashanah, so they belong to that year. If they reach a third of their growth after Rosh Hashanah, they belong to the year that Rosh Hashanah began. Ask the Gemara, my Misha Titzmach, what does it mean that Tiltan, that fenugreek, is determined by when it grows, literally, Misha Titzmach? What it means is Misha Titzmach Lizra'im, when the seed inside of it has grown to the point that it could become a plant, that were they to plant that seed, it would now grow up to be a full plant. Okay, then we learn tatvua vazesim. Tvua meaning wheat, barley, grapes, zesim, and olives. Mishiaviu shlish. Once they reach a third of their maturity in 1 year, that's what dates them to that year. How do we know this? That wheat and barley and grapes and olives get dated by reaching a third, not from when they budded, not from when they were picked, but from when they reached a third of their maturity. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Umatuban. There are others who say that this was Mishmei Rav Yossi Haglili. This was in the name of Rav Yossi Haglili. Amar Kratz, the Pasuk, in regards to Hakel. Hakel occurs in the year after Shemitah. Pasuk says, Vayitzav Moshe Osam Lemor. Moshe commanded the Jews and he told them, Miketz Sheva Shanim, at the end of 7 years, Bimoed Shnas HaShmita, at the time of Shemitah, the Chag HaSukkos, on Sukkos. What do you mean? Shnas HaShemitah Mayavidite B'Chag HaSukkos. If it's after the 7 years, and the Sukkos that's after the 7 years, it's not the year of Shemitah anymore. It's the 8th year. Shminasi, it's the 8th year. Right? As you said, Miketz Sheva Shanim, the Torah says at the end of the 7 years. And then it says, B'Chag HaSukkos, on Sukkos, after the 7 years. But then you can't say the words B'Shnas HaShemitah, in the year of Shemitah. After the 7 years, it's no longer Shemitah. It's now the first year of the next cycle. Ella, but rather, the reason why it says Shnas HaShemitah about Sukkos, long will have to tell you. If your wheat, barley, or grapes have reached a third of their growth before Rosh Hashanah, you keep treating it as if it is the 7th year fruit. Since it reached a third of its maturity in the 7th year, it has the Kedusha of the 7th year, even if now you are in Bishminis in the 8th year. So it's saying that you might be in Sukkos of the 8th year, but you have things that are still dated as 7th year produce, since they reached a third of their growth before the Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year. So that's the proof that wheat and barley and grapes and olives follow reaching a third. Amalei Reb Zeira Le Reb Asi, Reb Zeira said to Reb Asi, maybe not. How do you know that the Torah is talking about produce that reached a third of its growth in the 7th year, and therefore it's still dated as 7th year produce? The Dilma lo ayil klal. Maybe in the 7th year the produce didn't ripen at all. The Kamarachman HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying the following: Tishmat v'tezel. Keep extending the concept of Shemitah, namely not to plow and not to plant. Ad Chagasukos, till Sukkos of the 8th year. The same way you have Tosefes in the 6th year, you should have Tosefes in the 8th year, and you should be adding Shemitah till Sukkos. And that's what it's saying, that you're adding Shemitah in terms of not working the ground till Sukkos. That's what Marlo Sakla died, so you can't think to say that. That's it, because the Pasuk says that B'Chagakatsir B'Kurei Ma'asech Asher Tizra Basadzeh, there's the holiday of Shavuos, and then B'Chag Ha'asif, then you have the holiday of the gathering at the end of the year. When you gather in what you, your action, your stuff from the field. So my asif, why did the Torah call Sukkos Chag HaAsif? If you're going to say it's the holiday that's coming when you're gathering things in, but Haksiv, what the pasuk says, Be'aspecha. Torah already said that, when you gather what you have in the field. So why did the Torah say again, Chag HaAsif? Already said, Be'aspecha es ma'asecha menasadeh. Ella, rather, my asif. What does the Torah mean when it says, V'chag HaAsif? It says Hashanah. Why does it say asif? Rather, it means katsir. It means the harvesting of grain. So it's saying it's a holiday that comes when you are gathering stuff in. It's also called Chag HaAsif. In other words, besides the fact that you're gathering things that are dry throughout the summer, you're also harvesting stuff. You're also cutting stuff down. You're cutting stuff down now. And the stuff that you're cutting down now also belongs to last year. So Kim Lulu Rabbanan, the rabbis have a tradition. To hold Tfuah Shemiktzra B'Chag, that if you're harvesting something on Sukkos, Yadua, then clearly, remember, Sukkos is 15 days into the new year. Yadua, Shevia, Shlish, clearly it had already reached at least a third of its maturity, Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, in last year. But Kakari Land, the verse says, Bitsei Sashana, that it is belonging to the year that had just left. So you see that once something reaches a third of its growth, then it gets dated to that year. Amalei, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera, the Kim Lulu Rabbanan, Bain Shlish, the Pachos Mishlish, do the rabbis really know agriculture? Do they know the difference between whether something has reached a third of its growth or it's reached more than a third of its growth? Do they know any of these things? And they know that if it hasn't reached a third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah, then it can't harvest it on Sukkos. They know agriculture. Amar leis, Rav Zera said back to Rav Yirmiya, yeah. Lav aminalach, haven't I already told you? Lotepik nafshach levar mihilchasa. Don't take yourself out of the halachos that the rabbis have said. Don't doubt their precision. Kol midos chachamim kein hu. All the various measurements of the rabbis are very precise and you cannot doubt them. For example, the Torah says that if a person is tameh, v'rachatz eskol b'saro b'mayim, he is to bathe all of his flesh in water. And we have a tradition that he has to go to the mikvah. And what is a mikvah? A mikvah is one by one by three. One amma by three amos worth of water. The amount of water to cover the entirety of a person's body, which is 40 sa'ah, 40 sa'ah of water. So barbayim sa'ah utovel, in 40 sa'ah of rainwater or spring water that has not been transported in a bucket, that didn't go into a vessel, he immerses. Barbayim sa'ah chaser kortov, if you have 40 sa'ah minus a kortov, missing an eighth of a log, right, a tiny amount. And you can't, it wouldn't be kosher. It could be 40, it could be almost 40 saw, but it's just missing one little kortev. No good, you can't tovel in it. For example, another law that when a person eats an egg worth of tame foods, so he becomes tame. So kibetza mitame, a person who ate an egg worth of tame foods, the body of that person, the eater, becomes tame. So kibetza mitame, Tomas Ochlin, if he ate an egg worth, he becomes tame because of the food. Kibetza chaser sumsum, let's say he ate an egg worth missing one sesame. So a little bit less than an egg, a sesame less than an egg. It does not make him tame. Shloshal shlosha metame medris. If a person has a garment that is three tfachim by three tfachim, let's say 9 inches by 9 inches, that can become tame as a seat of a zav. If a zav sits on it, it becomes an avatuma. But shloshal shlosha chaser nima achas. Three tvachim by three tvachim, missing one thread. Ain't a matami medrash. Doesn't make him medrash. So therefore, doesn't make the item into medrash. So you see that all the sages' rules are very precise. So the sages also knew the difference between if whether something had grown a third or had not yet reached a third of its growth. Then Rabbi Yirmiyah himself said, Lav milsihi ta'ami. What I had asked was not a question. But I had asked, did the sages know the difference between whether something reached a third or not? That they could say that if it's asif, if you're cutting it down in sukkahs, it means that it reached a third beforehand? The sages certainly knew. How do we know? The friends asked Rav Kahana about the pasuk in Parshas Emor. The pasuk says, Ki tavo el ha'aretz, Hashem said, when you will enter the land, asher ani nosein lachem, that I'm giving to you, uktzartem es ktzira, and you are to harvest that which is to be harvested. You're cutting down that which is to be cut down. Ve'avetzem es omer, reishes ktzirchem el ha'kohen. You are to begin an omer of the first of your harvest to the kohen to bring the harban minchas ha'omer. Now, omer she'kiv yisob k'nisasan la'aretz. When the Jews first got into Eretz Yisrael, and they brought their omer, meheichan hikrivuhu, where did they get the barley for that omer? Im tomer da'al biad nachri, if they took things that had grown in the hands of the non-Jews, and then they came in, they cut it down, and they brought it. But k'tzircham amar achman, Hashem said, bring your harvest. The lo k'tzir nachri can't be that which was the harvest of the non-Jew. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Who says that the Jews, when they came in, they brought him in chasoma? Maybe they didn't bring it. Says the Gemara, you can't think to say that. That's it, because it says, and they ate from the produce of the land, on the day after Pesach. Well, what happens the day after Pesach? the Omer is brought, and then you can eat the new grain. So the only started eating the new stuff the day after Pesach. But initially, before the 16th of Nisan, they couldn't eat anything because they were following the law that there's a prohibition of Chadash. You can't eat the new grain until the Omer is brought. So clearly, Zakrivu Omer, they brought the Omer, Vahadar Achli, then they could eat. So now let's go back to the question. Where are they bringing the Omer from? They don't have anything that they grew. They came in. Where do they have anything that they grew? So Amar Lahan, Rav Kahane answered the friends. What happened was like this. Kol Shlohevi Shlish Biyad Nachri. They had grain that had not yet reached the third while it was owned by the non-Jew. They came in and took it over. So while they owned it, it reached a third of its growth. So you see that it was following when it reached a third of its growth. Since it reached a third of its growth in the hands of the Jew, it's considered Jewish grain. Now, says Rav Yirmiya, now how'd they even know? I thought we said that the rabbis don't know what's a third, what's not a third. How did they, maybe it had already reached a third with the non-Jew, but they can't tell the difference. Well, apparently from the very beginning, Jews could tell the difference. Kimluhu, they were aware of what's a third, what's less than a third. So they were aware then. Sachanami Kimlu, so the rabbis also now are aware. Asks the Gemara, what's this big proof of Rav Yirmiya? The Dilma may be lo ayel klal. They took produce that hadn't ripened at all. Not that it had ripened a third in the hand, up to a third in the hands of the non-Jews. They took produce that hadn't ripened at all, and in their own hands it ripened fully. So, avalhecha de ayel river, but if something had already ripened a quarter, so then, being shlish l'pachas mishlish, to know the difference between, okay, it ripened a quarter, but it hasn't yet ripened a third, less than a third to a third, lokimlu, they didn't know. Says the Gemara, lo salkavat, you can't think to say that. Because when did they enter the land of Israel? The pasuk says, va'am alumenai yardin ba'asar l'chodesh arishon. The Jews ascended from the Jordan River on the 10th day of Nisan. So they only come into the land of Israel on the 10th of Nisan. If you're going to tell me that they don't really know agriculture, they could know that it hasn't ripened at all. And they took stuff that hadn't ripened at all when they came in. And under their control, it ripened to the point that it looked ripe. Is there such a thing that grain that hasn't ripened at all in 5 days, from day 10 till day 16, is going to now ripen fully? 5 days is going to ripen fully? Elamai, so must be what Rabbi Yirmiya said. I said, "Am I really? Elamai." So then, what? Ayel Rivo Zanka. They came in on the 10th of Nisan and had already grown a quarter. Had already grown a fifth. But still, Akati v'Chamish Yom Mikom Alya. In 5 days, is it going to go from a quarter or a fifth to being fully ripe? Does that make sense? Elamai Yisrachalamim. What are you going to say? Yeah, because Eretz Tzviksivba says about the land of Israel. It's the land of the deer. Just like a deer runs fast, the land of Israel ripens fruits very quickly. So if that's true, we can say the same thing. We can say our rejection of Rav Yirmiya. Eretz Tzvik Sivba. Really what they came in was to grain that hadn't ripened at all. And in the 5 days that they were there, it ripened. And now it was ripened fully. So therefore, there is no proof that Ibn Ezra. Well, they lived at the same era, but Ibn Ezra, you know, he traveled all over. He had no bracha parnasa.
Yeah.
He wrote a poem. He said, "If I would become a sailor, all the oceans would dry. If I would be a farmer, it would never rain. And if I would be an undertaker, no one would ever die." He never had success with Parnassan. He traveled all over. He went to England. I think he was in England twice. He was in England. He was in Spain.
You know, I remember a conversation with Benny Tam. I didn't know what you read, but this is a true documented conversation.
Right. It also says that Ibn Ezra and Benny Tam had a question here.
If you touch a dead roach, you get time. Okay?
Not a roach, one of the rodents.
But at the same token, if you eat a tamer food, less than the size of an egg,
right,
you won't get tamei in the
Correct.
Fire. It just doesn't make sense. It has to be like a minimal size of an egg.
Minimal size of food.
If it's a little bit less, you know, you won't get tamei.
Right. True. Okay, so Rabbi Yirmiyah's point is rejected. It's not so clear that the rabbis always knew. You can't prove from the way we entered the land of Israel that rabbis always knew the difference between a third of a growth and not. But we had said earlier that the pasuk says Chag HaAsif. Since it says Chag HaAsif, which we said is an extra word, it really means that it's a holiday where there's things being cut down. So if you're cutting wheat down on Sukkot, that means that already it's finished enough to be able to cut it down. It must mean it must have reached the third already before Rosh Hashanah. Masper Chanina, Rav Chanina said, asked the question, Mimas is Amit Zahai Asif Katzeru. How could you say that the word Asif means cutting things down? But it says, Chag HaSukkos Tasel Chashivas Yamim Ba'as B'chami Garnacho Mikvecha. You should make the holiday of Sukkot when you gather in from your silos, from your vineyards. And we learned that it was a famous thing throughout Masechta Sukkot that Psolos Goren V'Yekov HaKasim Adavah. The pasuk is saying that you have to make out of schach the leftovers of the Goren V'Yekov, things that do not become tame, that are grown from the ground. So therefore, when the Torah says Chag HaAsif, it's not to say that you are harvesting stuff. It's the holiday called Chag HaAsif. The same way it's called Chag HaSukkos. It's called Chag HaAsif because Ba'as B'chami Garnacha Mi'ikvecha is what you make schach out of. So it's called Chag HaSukkos. It's called Chag HaAsif. It's not to say it's the time of harvesting stuff. So Reb Zeir said, HaMilsa, this idea that we had a verse that tells us that things that grow a third belong to the year in which they grew a third, have a biyad, and we had it. And Reb Chanina came and he threw in it an axe. He chopped it down. So what is the source that we date wheat, barley, grapes, and olives from when they grew a third? Rabbi Yonah son ben Yosef says, the pasuk said that if you're going to ask, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? So if it's Yivisei Sbir Chasi Lachem Hashanah Hashishis, I'm going to command my blessing to you in the sixth year. V'astas HaTvuah L'Shlosh HaShanim. And there'll be so much produce for 3 years. For year six, year seven, and year eight. So the Gedrash of Chazal is like this. You can read the pasuk as saying the following also. Tikri l'shalosh, ela l'shlish. Maybe the pasuk is saying, Vas es hatvua l'shlish hashanim. It'll make rain for a third per year. In other words, if it grew a third in this year, it already belongs to that year. Ask the Mara, but we need the pasuk to tell us something else. That the land is going to produce enough produce for 3 years. And so the Gemara, Ksiv Krachmina. Now that already we have another pasuk telling us. The pasuk says, "Zratim Asashana Ashminis." You will be planting in the eighth year. V'achaltim Enatzvua, and in the eighth year you'll still be eating from the grain, which was Yashan, which is the old grain. Ad Ashanat Shias, until what you plant in the eighth year will grow, namely in the ninth year. So that means if you're eating in the eighth years from the leftovers of years past, that means you had enough for the eighth year, the seventh year, and the sixth year. That was the last time you were harvesting. That's in the sixth year. You didn't do anything in the seventh year. So that already tells you that you had 3 years worth of grain. So this pasuk is extra. So since it's extra, it's to tell you to read it like this. Va'asas es hatzvua l'shlish hashanim. It'll make grain to a third. The grain that grew a third already belongs to that year. We have 3 years worth, right? 3 years worth. Shishit, Shviit, and Shminit. Right. Okay, so that's in terms of Tvua. Now let's talk about legumes. Tanan Hasmuddin Mishnah, Ha'orez, Va'adochen. rice, millet, pragin, might be poppy, sumsumin, sesame, shishvish lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if they took root before Rosh Hashanah, misasin l'sha'avar, then they, their maisos are of the year that was before Rosh Hashanah. Umutar b'shvias, and if they took root in the sixth year, then they are allowed in the seventh year. They don't have the holiness of Shemitah. Vim lav, but if they only took root after Rosh Hashanah, so then asurim b'shvias, then you can't eat them at all during Shemitah, because they have the prohibition of svichin, they took root during Shemitah. And misasin l'shana haba, and their maiser will be based on the year that they took root in, or the year in which they were picked. So Gemara says, how do we know that in regards to legumes, we dated based on when it took root? So Amar Rabbah, Rabba said, Amar Rabbanan, the rabbis say, Ilan Basar Chanata. A fruit on a tree gets dated by when it budded. In other words, when the leaves fell off on the blossoms. Two of us say, same, we just said wheat and barley. Tzvua, wheat, barley, grapes, olives, basar shlish. They get dated by when they reach the third of their maturity. The year in which they reach the third of the maturity, that's their year. If that year was year two, then their masos are maser rishon and maser sheni. If that year was year three, their masos are maser rishon and maser ani. Yerek, basar lakita, vegetable, follows when it's picked. So honey, these legumes, kiman shavyuni rabbanan, what did the rabbis make it like? Hada Amar Rabba. Then Rabba said, "Mitoch shasuyin prachin prachin," because they do not get picked all at once. They get picked in bits and bits. You pick a bit, and you shell it. You take off the chaff, and you pick some more. You take off the chaff of that, and you mix it all together. So it can't be that we're going to follow when it gets picked. If we would follow when it gets picked, you're going to have mixed in together things from one year with things from another year. So we need to look for a point where there's sort of a universal point. So therefore, Azir Rabbanan Basar Ashrasha. The rabbi said, we're not going to date this field based on when you pick the stuff in this field, because that's little by little. They pick a little bit, then they pick a little bit more. Then you're going to mix, and they mix it all together. So you're going to have mixed in this year with next year. That's bad. So therefore, they have to follow. And they chose to follow when it took root. Remember that in regards to masros, the only biblical maser is wheat and barley, tvua, and tirosh v'yitzar, wine and oil. There's no biblical maser in kidneys, in peas, or in rice, or in vegetables, irakos. So it's rabbinic maser. So it's rabbinic maser. They're going to choose a date. It's workable. So they're going to not date it by when it was picked. They'll date it by when it took root. Amalei Abaya asked, why'd they have to do that? Let them say that the legumes are dated by when they are picked, like vegetables. The Yitzbar Gorana L'socho, and say, okay, he's going to pick bits and bits, bits and then another bit. So fine, so he's going to have last year mixed with this year. But let's just tell him, whenever you pick a field, even if you're going to pick a field over Rosh Hashanah, and so there'll be some things from before Rosh Hashanah, other things from after Rosh Hashanah. Mix it all together. Mix it all together. Make a big pile of it. When you mix it all together, it's going to mix in a consistent way. So then when you take 10% of the pile, within that 10%, there's going to be a certain percentage, which is the percentage, which is 10% of this year's stuff, and there'll be the other percentage, which is the 10% of last year's stuff. So the new within the bucket of Meiser is going to be the Meiser on the new stuff of the new year. And a proof that you can do such a thing, Abaya said, is Milotan, didn't learn in Braisa. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, Omer Shimon Shimon Shazuri. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur said the name of Shimon Shazuri, of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Pula Mitzri, the Egyptian peas. The Egyptian peas that people normally plant to eat the peas, and sometimes to eat the whole pod, not just the pea. So the law is, if it was planted for the eating of the pod, then it has the status of a vegetable. Kishazara lazara, if you planted it though, not for the pod, but you planted it to eat the seeds, So then we follow when it took root. And if miktsaso hishrish lifnei Rosh Hashanah, some of these peas took root before Rosh Hashanah, umiktsaso hishrish, and some of the peas in the field took root l'achar Rosh Hashanah, ain't torben ma'asim yizel zeh, you can't take truma or ma'aser from that which was after Rosh Hashanah on behalf of that which was before Rosh Hashanah. Because you can't take Chuma and Meiser from the new for the old or for the old to the new. But Kesidurosa, what does he do? Sover Garana Latocho. Once he picked it, he mixes everything together. And then he takes a bucket out of the big mixture. Then it'll turn out that the Chuma and the Meiser is from the new on the new. When Ayashin Shabo, Alayashin Shabo, and from the old on behalf of the old. So why did the sages have to say that we're going to follow when it takes root? Because you can mix it all together. So Amar Leh, so Rabba said to Abaye, Reb Shimon Shazuri, come Marta. You're talking about Reb Shimon Shazuri. He said, you can mix together all the peas of this year with the peas of last year, and then take a bucket full of peas out as truma, and that's going to be fine. And in that bucket, the percentage that's supposed to be from the new year will be from the new year. The percentage from the old year is going to be from the old year. So that's because he holds that things mix well. Reb Shimon Shazuri Sever Yesh Bila, that when you mix grain with grain or peas with peas, they mix in a consistent way. However, Rabbanan Savri Ein Bila, the Rabbanan hold that when you mix peas with peas, or grain with grain, they're not going to mix in a consistent way, so it's not going to work. Because you're going to end up taking Menachadash ala Yashan or Menayashan ala Chadash. Amr Reb Yitzchak Bar Nachman, Bar Nachmeni, Amr Shmuel. Reb Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Shmuel Halacha, Ki Reb Yosef ben Kippur Shem Shimon Shazuri. But Halacha is like Reb Yosef ben Kippur said in the name of Reb Shimon Shazuri, that when you have in one field some stuff from this year and other stuff from last year, if you harvest it and then you mix together the harvest, it is okay. You mix together the harvest, so it's fine. So you have, let's say 80% was last year's stuff, 20% was this year's stuff. If you pick the whole thing, so now when you mix it all together, you're going to have a mixture of 80 and 20, but it's going to mix consistently. Since it's going to mix consistently, if you take, there are 10, you know, the amount of grain is equal to 10 barrels worth. If you take one barrel out, in that barrel, 20% is going to be from the new, 80% will be from the old, and it's fine. So it's meiser. And the new stuff here is going to be the meiser for the new stuff. And the old will be the meiser for the old, and it's fine. It works. Ask for Reb Zera challenged this. Did Shmuel say such a thing that when you combine together peas or grain, they're going to mix in a uniform way, in a consistent way? But Shmuel said, Lakol ain't Bila. We do not assume that when you mix two things together, they mixed consistently. Chutz miyayin b'shemen. We say that in wine and in oil, because those are liquids. If you mix 20% of this year's wine with 80% of last year's wine, so now it mixed consistently, it mixed uniformly. But if you mix peas, 20% peas from this year, 20% peas of 80% peas of last year, they may not mix in an even way. You may have all the peas in one spot of this year and all the peas of last year in another spot. It's peas. They sit in one place. They're not going to mix in a smooth way. Answers the Gemara, Ishtamitte, or Reb Zera forgot, is Hadamar Shmuel, is this that Shmuel said, Hakol Holech Achar Gemar Pri, that in regards to legumes, Shmuel holds, we do not follow when the legume took root, but rather we follow when the legume fully ripened. So Shmuel says that we follow when the legume fully ripened. So that's why he held, also like Reb Shimon Shazuri, that things, therefore he said you can pass like Reb Shimon Shazuri. He said you can gather everything in one spot and then take the trumas and maizes from it, not because it's going to be a good mixture, but because those peas that took root before Rosh Hashanah, those peas that took root after Rosh Hashanah don't belong to two different years. They belong to one year because they all ripened in this year when they were picked. Utrichan, I have to tell you all of these things. Okay, as Hashem, we will get into that on Shabbos Kodesh.